It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 289, entitled "The Comments Were Somewhat Broken." It was recorded on Monday, the 4th of March, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined this week by Jen Herries, by Pete Chenery, and Dave Gray. It's a WordPress podcast, so, well, you know, we're going to talk about WordPress. We talk about WordCamp Canada and why it's being called WCEH, somewhat surprisingly. We also get into the fact that some people, Search Engine Journal, we're looking at you, seem to think that WordPress is a cause of frustration and is in decline. Is that the case, or are we just reading the data wrong? The Quickly plugin is going away. We get into a conversation about why that's happening. Are you heading to WordCamp Asia? I'll certainly be there. And if you want to hook up, I would really appreciate that. That would be lovely. Who should foot the bill for WordPress events? Should it be the volunteers, or should there be a different way of doing that? And possibly the big story of the week, has WordPress.com, Tumblr, and Jetpack been selling data from those platforms to AI APIs? It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Hi. It is, I don't know what it is, it's the 4th of March, 2024. It's a Monday. It's 2 p.m. UK time. And what do I do every Monday at 2 p.m. UK time? Well, I'm either in bed feeling really unwell, or I do this show, which is more common. But of late, I've been a bit remiss. But we seem to be back on a regular schedule. I must say, I'm going to miss next week as well, because as luck would have it, I'm going to be in Taiwan, hanging out with a bunch of WordPressers at WordCamp Asia, which I'm really looking forward to. But nevertheless, we're going to do this show today. And as you can see from the screen, I'm joined by three fabulous WordPressy people. Let's go over there first. Let's begin with Jen. How are you doing, Jen?
Good.
Very, very nice to have you with us. I've got to say a great big thank you, particularly to Jen and to Dave. I mean, a big thanks to Peter for joining us as well. But Jen and Dave kind of stepped in at the 11th hour because we had a few people that cancelled due to ill health. And so thank you for doing that at the 11th hour. That really is very, very much appreciated. But who is Jen? Well, Jen is an accessibility advocate and WordPress developer with over a decade of experience. Her company, Easy Ally Guide, she specializes in helping people begin their accessibility journey with done-for-you guides, tutorials, and tools. She's also spoken at several events on accessibility, including WordCamp US in 2023. At Anfira, Jen specializes in helping clients solve and present WordPress problems. Also works with a wide range of clients from multi-million dollar companies to solopreneurs, maintaining their WordPress sites with care plans and generally making their WordPress journey less stressful. She also organizes the Baltimore WordPress Meetup and is an active participant in many online groups. Thank you so much for joining us. Also, like I said, stepping in at the 11th hour. Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate that. It's Dave Gray. How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad.
Last minute step in, but hey.
Yeah, nevertheless, I'm sure your opinions will be most useful. The way that we put together this show is that typically I throw together a bunch of links and I send them out on a Friday at some point. And so hopefully all of the panelists have had a chance to sort of peruse the various different bits and pieces. But Dave is working on headsupwp.com. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? That trying to point to the right place is almost impossible. But you can see it underneath Dave's names on the video. Headsupwp.com, a plugin and a new plugin, I should say, and service to help site owners monitor their WordPress site, WooCommerce stores for preventable SEO and user experience issues. For example, broken product images, broken links, deleted pages, and a bunch more. He's also recently acquired 12 mostly Divi related plugins from WP Plugins Plus, And the idea there is to grow his budding business empire. Nice. You heard it here first. Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you, Dave, for joining us. Thank and you. And Peacher, Peacher Neri. We know Peacher. She's on the she's on this show not so frequently, but I do a monthly UI UX show with Peacher. But how are you doing? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm in not so sunny London, but very
You're
happy
in London?
To be here. I am indeed.
Are you taking a vacation or are you just like moved or something?
No, I think I've mentioned, well, some people know, I used to live here. I lived here for like 20 years and then moved to Spain. But in Spain, where I live in the city of Valencia, in the month of March, there's a festival that is completely bonkers and you see it once and that's fine because you basically can't sleep for a month. So here I am instead. It's my opportunity. March is where I know, is the month where I know that I'm off and I love to spend it in London with friends.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Peacher has done a great job at providing a very pithy biography. Peacher's biography goes like this. I'm going to say it in one breath. Peacher Neri, UI and UX consultant, educator and speaker. Done.
That's it.
But let's spend the time that we would have done on the biography. Let's promote something that you're just about to launch, actually. Let's show that right to
without any warm-up or anything. Okay.
Let's do it. So I'm going to shove a URL into your consciousness. I don't know if Google have grabbed hold of this at the moment, but it's called the Accessibility Typography Masterclass. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? Because I don't have a web page available for it. I do have a link where you can purchase it, but tell us a little bit about what you're doing there. I'm sure Jen would be interested as well.
Yes. So this is something that I sort of already did, but I'm doing it again now with a real, real focus on accessibility, because something that I should add to the very pithy bio is accessibility advocate as well. 60% of accessibility issues originate in design. That's the percentage that you read. And accessibility is, typography is an essential part of accessibility because it's the first thing that your users see. And it's also what is what Google and tools like that use to know, because Google is deaf and blind. Google needs text in order to function. And so typography, but also extended to the use of text is what I think we should all start from. So this accessibility masterclass, I'm running it with another designer called Joe Natoli. Yes, thank you for using the code, because I have been trying to get this. I have gremlins in my website. There are gremlins. Therefore, I've been trying to get the, in my Beaver Builder, actually, there are gremlins. I've been trying to get the sales page ready for so long. That is a disgrace. So there's a code that gives you a nice discount of 25%. So grab it because the sale ends on the 6th of March, because I'm kind of against discounts for various reasons. But in this case, I was like, for God's sake. And also, WP Build, we love you. We love the listeners to WP Build. So go for it. You've got time until the 6th of March. You got a 25% discount on the accessible typography masterclass run by Peacher Neri and Joe Natoli, who is quite a big name in UX, and I'm privileged enough that he's my friend. The topics that we will touch are, of course, the basics of typography. And by the way, if you use typography the way it should be taught, but actually most of the time isn't, you're already kind of a lot of the way there with having an accessible interface. That's my opinion. But there's so much more to it. There's things that we are actually going to teach in a masterclass. First of all, semantic and HTML, which is something that so many, the vast majority of websites don't consider. And it's essential for screen readers assistive technology, and also people who don't use assistive technology, because it just makes your content clearer, write properly. So there's going to be it's going to be a mixture of content design. And, you know, we were saying earlier before we came on that, I mean, I wouldn't say that I code, but I do code a little bit when it comes to things like this. I do know what I should know about how to build websites accessibly also on the code side. So we will also touch on things on interactive text, but also how to write your links accessibly. There's lots more than just the term typography would make you think.
Okay.
So I'd love to see you there. Sorry, I went on a bit of a rant.
No, sorry. It's okay. I get ranting. It's all good. This is what you're going to see. So the landing page is this at the moment. Maybe there'll be something that you can Google another time. But there we go. The self-promotion will continue in just a moment from my side. So there it is, peachinery.thrivecot.com/ATM. And if you want to get some money off, I think it's 25%, then use the code WP. No, yes, WPB, the three letters WPB, all uppercase, but I don't know if that matters. There you go. Well, great. I'm glad that we got that in at the beginning, because it gives
Thank
me license
much.
To, no, you're welcome. Gives me
Speaking
license
of
to,
semantic HTML, can I just be upset with ThriveCart?
Oh, have you had a good old poke around at that?
Sorry.
Is it bad?
Ugh.
Oh, Jen. Oh, no, we've started on a bad...
Jen,
we need some kind of... we need it, for every link that we show today, we need some kind of noise that... Jen, we put it on the screen. Jen can go and do right-click, inspect, check it out from an accessibility point of view and get some sort of angry...
Yeah.
So I get to start with yours?
Yeah. No, mine's really bad. Forget that. Yeah, really, don't look at mine. I do need an overhaul.
Yeah, but I'm
here
sorry.
It is.
You do, yes.
WPBuilds.com is our URL. We're supported by GoDaddy, so thanks for that to them for helping us keep the podcast going. If you want to see what we're doing, probably go to these archive pages and check it out. And if you want to subscribe, click on this little link there. Just another bit of self-promotion before we start. We're running version 7 of the ever-so-popular Page Builder Summit. It's coming around in May this year. Early May this year, and we're on the lookout for sponsors. We've got a few that have joined us already. 20i is going to be one. WS Form is going to be one. And so is Main WP, but we're on the lookout for some others. And you can find the information about what you'll get in return for your sponsorship at pagebuildersummit.com. Honestly, I could list 1,000 reasons why you should do this, but I'll just say it's fab. It's a really nice event full of really lovely people. So go and check that out. Right.
Where's my speaker invite?
Oh, don't ask me. Anshin deals with that. I'm just walking away from that grenade. Really careful. I'm just going backwards away. I don't know. Here we go.
Right. Post.
Yeah. Mailed. That's what it is. Great response, Dave. I love it. WordPress stuff. Let's get on with it. No, let's not get on with it. Let's do the little live chat comments that have come through. There's always a few. Firstly, if you're watching this, appreciate it. Really, really happy to have your commentary. The more comments that come in, the happier we all get. The best way to do that is probably go to this URL, wpbuilds.com/live, and you can use the YouTube comment, so you need to be logged into Google. Or if you click on the little black box top right of the video player, you can comment in there without being logged into anything. I'm not even going to mention the Facebook stuff anymore because they're deprecating the API, so we probably won't be featuring on Facebook for very much longer. And you know what? So be it. Right, okay, it's Courtney. Courtney's joining us. Hi! Oh, no. Oh, Courtney. It says, it's my turn to feel unwell. Thanks for this happy group for starting off the week. Oh, good luck with that, Courtney. Feeling lousy is lousy, and I really hope that you get better soon. Thanks for joining us. Cameron, all the way over in Australia, Brisbane, or the environs of Brisbane, he says, evening all, thank you. Peter Ingersoll always drops us a little comment about the weather, and today is no different. It's Connecticut that he joins us from. Sonny, record-breaking warm weather yesterday. Wow, it's cooler today, 47 degrees, crazy, crazy format of weather, or 8 degrees centigrade, which is a sensible format that everybody can understand, because it goes from 0 to 100. cloudy skies. Anyway, that was my lesson in being patronizing to North Americans. I'm sorry about that. Mr. Panzer Dragoon says good morning, and Max is joining us. Quickly will be a topic.
It is.
It is a topic. It came into my on my radar. I switched off the computer and then I switched it on again, I think this morning, and it was like, quickly, what's gone on? We'll get to that towards the end though, Max, but thanks for pointing that out. Really appreciate it. Okay, here we go. WordPress 6.5 Beta 3 has been announced. There's a lot coming up in WordPress 6.5. We've covered it endlessly, but just the last chance, really. This is the one prior to it going into some sort of code freeze and string freeze and all that kind of stuff. So you got a little bit of time left. I don't think Dave, Jen, Peacher, have you got anything to add to that? I just wanted to make everybody aware what's coming up.
Just had one little comment just to say, like, the plugin references and dependencies on there is a nice little add-on to kind of make sure you can't turn stuff on if you've not got a dependency. So yeah, that's a nice little add.
Just tell me more about that, because I think I understood what you meant, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Basically, from what I've read on there, in your plugin file, in the little headers, you can say this depends on something else in the repo. So basically, if that thing isn't running, yours can't turn on. And if they turn that one off, yours will automatically turn off as well.
Ah.
So in time, it should make things a bit easier. You don't need to check that, is this thing still running? Because it can kind of bake some of that in. But if everyone doesn't update straight away, then you'd still need that. Yeah, it's just a nice little, this, like, WooCommerce has been turned off. If you're doing WooCommerce plugins, they're just automatically turn off as well if you've got the little header in there.
So is that something that would surface at the point of you installing the plugin? In other words, if I was just installing some, as you said, WooCommerce dependent plugin, if I tried to install that, it would give me some sort of little notification to say,
yeah, I believe so. I might just say, I need this bit to get enabled first and just refuse to turn on.
That's really interesting. I've seen that so many times with, you know, upgraded pro accounts for professional plugins or whatever. You know, you got the free version and then you get the paid version, and you try to install the paid version and it immediately says you got to go and get the repo version. But I do like that. Obviously, you're not stepping into a plugin which you then find, oh, hang on a minute, they've got all these other dependencies. Just as a point of reference, I stopped using Drupal as a CMS about, honestly, probably about a decade ago. And I was using Drupal for about 6 years before that. So this is going back about 16 years ago. Drupal had that 16 years ago, that warning about dependencies. Don't even try to install this module, they're called, because you can't, because it needs this other thing to run. And it gives you the option to, do you want to install all of the dependent things now? And you click a button and it just goes on in the background. So yeah, that's really handy. Less confusion for all of us. Okay. Thank you, Dave. Well spotted. Okay. Right. Oh, we love WordPress events. I was just mentioning that I'm gladly going to be at an event in the next week. And obviously from some of the bios that we had, there's a lot of interest amongst our panelists about attending WordPress events. Brand new one for you. If I'd have not been unwell and done the show more regularly, we probably would have covered this in great depth when the news announced, but this is the first time that I've really had a chance to. WordCamp Canada has come around. WordCamp Canada is now a thing. I actually can't think, and I'm probably being a bit naive, I can't really think of too many countries, apart from the US, which have a WordCamp. Like, for example, is there a WordCamp UK? No. I don't know if there's a WordCamp France or a WordCamp Thailand or what have you. But I really like the idea.
WordCamp Spain happened during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether it's going to happen again, but it has happened.
So it is a thing, but it's not a particularly common thing, is it? And in some ways, I guess post-pandemic, it's quite a neat way of organizing everybody into the one event. You know, if you're from a country like me, the UK, which is teeny tiny, then it's really straightforward to kind of get there. You know, if it was, let's say it was in, I don't know, Liverpool or something, and it was WordCamp UK and it was in Liverpool, we could all get there in under 4 hours or 5 hours or something like that. But I guess something like WordCamp Canada, WordCamp US, maybe that's a little bit more problematic. Anyway, it's come around. First ever WordCamp US is calling out for speakers, sponsors, and volunteers. This piece was written on the Tavern during the Hunger Games period by James Giroux, who is Canadian, and he really leans into being Canadian in this piece, which I really appreciate, James. So bravo for that. I thought that was great. But he's essentially saying WordCamp US, which we all know about, is a regular event. We wonder why the Canadians need one. After all, they're right next to each other, and it's not difficult to travel between the two countries. And summed up very nicely in four words, the reason we need it is because we are different, which I thought was great. We're different, same, same, but different. Anyway, if you are interested in that, you want to sponsor, you want to volunteer, you want to be a speaker, maybe go and check out the website, wptavern.com. You can find this. It was released on the 26th of February. And there's a link to the WordCamp Canada page. Anything from you three about that or events in general, WordPress events? Let's open it right up. Off you go.
I have another question.
Let's go.
I'm all right.
Then we'll go, Jen. Yeah.
It's a different question, actually. You said that the Hunger Games period. So is that over now? Has it been announced?
Yeah, it'll be over very, very, very soon if it's not over already. Okay. I think it'll be over in a period of, in a matter of days. And then I presume that, I'm guessing it'll be Matt Mullenweg will go over, what's been submitted and whatever the metrics are. And then two, are supposed to be selected, whether or not that changes. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Jen.
Yeah, I've seen comments about WordCamp Canada for, probably 9 months now. From when the organizers first started talking about it. Anyway, it's supposed to be in Ottawa, which is absolutely stunning normally in the summer.
Oh, nice.
It's just north of the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York, which is pretty much where I grew up. So I can tell you the weather is normally really quite gorgeous up there.
Oh, nice. Well, there you go. Can anybody help me out here, right? It's because I'm guessing that James has got this 100% correct, but it says WordCamp Canada and then it says WCEH. I don't get that bit. Does anybody understand the significance of EH? Is it because CA would maybe conflict with California or something? And I don't know what the EH.
I don't know. My guess might be it has something to do with French. Ottawa's very close to the Quebec province.
Quebecois
side. So sometimes they try and pull in both the English and the French.
Okay.
But I don't speak any French, so
no.
Okay. I can't help you there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you are, if you're Canadian or, you fancy going to that event or you fancy speaking or what have you, check it out on the website. And Dave, anything on that or should we press on?
Carol.
Okay. Alrighty. A few weeks ago, we featured an article. I don't normally feature articles from Search Engine Journal because they're not usually directly related to WordPress, but this particular article was. They've got a pretty big reach. I think Search Engine Journal seems to be quite popular, and they released an article all about the, really you could sum it up as the growing dissatisfaction, as illustrated from the annual survey that was taken for the year 2023. So, at the end of each year, a survey goes out and it's got a whole bunch of questions and people contribute to that. And really, it's a good litmus test, I guess, for the state of WordPress as contributed by the community. And it came out as a fairly pessimistic read. There didn't seem to be an awful lot of confidence in the software. There seemed to be, it seemed to be a relentless pessimism was coming out of it. And really, this article, which has come from WP Mayer, is called Do WordPress Annual Survey Results Reflect Reality in 2024? I think they're just trying to put the brakes on that and say, hang on a minute, Search Engine Journal in particular. We've got some problems with this. Firstly, it was a survey completed by about 4,000 people. And you can imagine the user base of WordPress. Honestly, it must be millions, I would have thought. Truly to reflect that community, it would be millions. If there are 4,000 people contributing, they make the point that I wonder if people who have got an axe to grind maybe are drawn to that survey a little bit more. If you've got something that you want to get off your chest, if you like, then maybe that's a good way of doing it. They also talked about the fact that the language barrier may be difficult for people to fill out that survey. So, the community stretches the globe, and I imagine many of the people using WordPress are really only using it in the one language, which is their preferred version. So really what they're saying is calm down. WordPress search engine journal people, calm down. You know, search engine journal was saying that people were troubled by the ease of use, the flexibility, the cost, and block themes. And anyway, this article was saying, can we just calm down? Give it a little bit of time to percolate. So I don't know what your feelings are. I don't know if you're sensing this in the communities that you hang out. Again, enough from me. Over to you.
So I run a meetup group and we're now over 2,000 people. Yay.
Mm. That's a lot.
We hit 2,000. And one of the things is most people honestly do not think that the powers that govern WordPress care whatsoever about their personal opinions. And I've heard that echoed in many other groups, including people I talked to when I was at WordCamp US, is that the powers that be just don't really care about the feedback from the masses so much.
Do you take from that that if they were presented with a survey, they simply wouldn't fill it in because
they just don't fill it out. Right. And the other part is anytime you ask for feedback from people, it's just human nature. You know, if you have a bad experience, you go immediately tell everyone else about it because, you know, when you got burned by fire 2,000 years ago and you told everyone else fire's hot, it burns you, be careful. That was literally survival of the human race. And we still do that. We have a negative experience that is extremely memorable to us. And we are much more likely to proliferate that and tell other people about it than if we had an okay experience. If it was okay, it was fine. We moved on, barely even registered in our memory. But a severely negative experience, you tell everyone.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and definitely made in that article that the you know, the 4,000 people, maybe a proportion of those have some axe to grind. Dave, Peter, anything you want to throw in the lot here?
Yeah, I think as Jen sort of said, people either tend to complain a lot if it's minor or really inconvenient, but it'll have to be super duper wonderful to actually like, I'm going to actually put pen to paper or type something about this bit. So it's a bit like your MPS scores. You got to be really, really good to get someone to say, actually, that was acceptable. British way. Like, oh, it's super duper. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
It's a point well made. Peacher, anything to add?
Yeah, although I have to say that I also have heard sort of gathered on the ground in Spain this kind of feeling that the powers that be don't really care. But I agree. I completely agree. I actually have been making a point recently of writing and taking surveys when I am happy rather than when I'm unhappy. Sort of buck that trend, but it's true. I agree entirely.
So this article really is trying to paint a less pessimistic picture, but it may be that given the people that you hang out with, maybe this is in fact the feeling, you know, Peacher certainly sounds that there are people on the ground where she is that do have genuine complaints. So maybe it's a bit of swings and roundabouts. Maybe there's something in this, maybe not. Anyway, it was worth pulling up because I read that article and I just believed it wholesale. I thought, oh, the sky is falling in. And of course, maybe that's not entirely the picture. We had a problem last week when we did this show in that some of the comments that were coming via YouTube were not coming through to the platform that we use. Typically, the comments come into this platform and I can press a button and they go up onto the screen. Only a subset are making it through. I did file a report with the support channel that run this platform and they were looking into it. But I apologize if I don't raise your comment onto the screen, but I'll just raise a few quick ones. Firstly, Elliot Richmond was saying hello, all the way from Cheltenham. Thank you very much indeed. Courtney Robertson was saying that the Hunger Games for the WP Tavern ends on the 15th of March. So we've got another 11 days or so. And in fact, one of the people has only just begun writing. So I think they've got their little bit of time to run out. And that's based upon the Brian Cord start date, she said. She also says Canadians say a lot, or huh, or yeah, apparently. Elliot says that EH, as in WCEH, Canada, in print is used primarily to signify Canadian, with many websites.
What does it stand for?
A, like they say A a lot. EH. You know, when the Canadians finish their sentence, they say A.
So that's actually regional. I've found that there are quite a few Canadians, and it depends on what region of Canada they're from, whether or not they throw A in all the time.
Okay. But that's interesting that would make it in as the word camp A.
They surveyed 4,000 Canadians to get the answer.
That's right. Yeah. We need to survey them to see if they're slightly offended by that or not. I would never have thought of that. That's fascinating. Anyway, thank you, Elliot. If that is indeed true, that's absolutely fascinating. I guess it's a bit like, I don't know, picking up on something calling WordCamp UK, something like WordCamp Watcher or something, something like that. Righty-ho, let's move on. Let's move on to this next piece. This is to say, I don't really know how to parse this because of about what I'm going to say almost immediately after I've said it. So here's another acronym that I didn't understand until Jen helpfully came along and, and made it obvious. Support inclusion in tech. This is coming from the WP Tavern. I'll just read the title again. Support inclusion in tech is fundraising to sponsor more marginalized WordPress contributors. So support inclusion in tech with the acronym SINC, S-I-N-C, which I couldn't parse no matter how much I thought about it. But then Jen said, yeah, but it stands for support inclusion. And then it was obvious. Is now fundraising on the Open Collective platform. Founded and spearheaded by Winstina Hughes, SINC assists underrepresented WordPress contributors and provides financial support to WordCamp speakers for travel and cost. It does seem like they've done this before. And if you actually go to the click on the link, the Open Collective link, you can see the kind of ways that you can contribute. So for example, there is a package, they're looking for $425 to send somebody to pay for somebody's travel. I'm guessing that would contribute towards an airfare. $500 to pay for some hotel somewhere or other. Hotel and travel sponsorship, nearly $1,000. Flagship organizer sponsor. Anyway, you see the point. You can opt in as an individual, or you could, I guess, as your company, you could contribute to one of these little pots and thereby hopefully send somebody along. It's a fabulous endeavor until you read this, which was sent to me, I think, by Tim Nash. I think Tim sent me this during the week. This is quite sad because the platform that seems to be running that whole thing, you know, taking the money and what have you, opencollective.com, has put a blog post out at the end of last week, February 28th, to say, "Dear Open Collective community, it is with sad hearts that we have heard the news that the Open Collective Foundation's decision to dissolve in December 31. And then if you scroll down a little bit more, the last day to accept funds is the 15th of March, coincidentally the last day that the Hunger Games on the Tavern ends. And so that kind of puts this up in the air a little bit. This fabulous initiative that I was going to mention now suddenly appears to be homeless in terms of the capacity to take funds from the next few weeks. So let's break that out into two stories. The first one is what a fabulous endeavor this is. I love stuff like this, you know, being able to contribute. And maybe we'll deal with that first. And then perhaps later on, we'll come to this Open Collective collapsing or going out of business. I think it's a for profit. So obviously, you know, they had to pay the bills and what have you. But what do you think about this? The support inclusion in tech. It's obviously not brand new, but it's been written up on the Tavern. So I thought it would be worth mentioning. What a lovely initiative.
Do you remember, Nathan, that I think we did an episode where we, of the UX show, where yeah. I reviewed their website, because I'm aware of the initiative. I know it very well because I know Winstina, and when she set it up, I helped her because I have been a recipient of funding as an underrepresented before support inclusion in tech existed. And then my last funding, it put through support inclusion in tech. So I applaud the initiative. I think it's great. Winstina is tireless in her work, and she doesn't even work with WordPress. She's got a completely different job. I think it's a government job. So she really does it entirely for the good of the community. So a big round of applause for Winstina's initiative. You know better than to activate me, Nathan, on what I think about this issue in general, because I think, and I very, very strongly, ever more strongly think that this should not be needed, and speakers should be, and contributors, first of all, organizers, but, you know, in general, we shouldn't have, people shouldn't have to go look for support, because it's not as easy as it seems. It's actually quite hard. It's a big time suck. And in general, then it's much easier for a speaker who has a job and therefore they get funded by their company.
Just to be clear, Peachy, the way that
I personally, no.
Yeah, just to be clear, because the way that you phrased that, it could have gone, it felt like it, you could have understood it in two different ways. You're saying, sure that I've got this right. You're saying that these should be paid for positions. You know, if you're going to speak at an event, you should be paid to speak. If you're going to volunteer, if you're going to help organize
your
event,
costs you're, covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Your costs are covered. So
at least the costs should be covered. This, right. It's an incredible, the amount of time and energy that all of these initiatives take up, both for the wonderful people like Winstina that organize them, but also for the speakers, it's not straightforward. And I mean, it's a way bigger conversation. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Nathan, you know my position. So I'm not going to, but let's just say, well done. It's wonderful. And what a shame that Open Collective is shutting down. But
yeah. Okay. So great idea. However, can't put it on the screen because it hasn't, it's one of the comments that hasn't come through, but I can read it out. Okay. That's Courtney, who says, I quote, the WPCC, which is the WordPress Community Collective. So they use the same platform, for a similar but different set of goals, you know, but the idea is that you contribute in the same way into these little buckets. And they say that they're reviewing, for a new fiscal host soon. So maybe Winstina, with the support inclusion in tech, you know, maybe once Courtney and others at the WPCC have figured that out, maybe a conversation could be had about where to go, to make that happen. Okay. So over to Dave, over to Jen. Let's talk about the initiative and the sad demise of payment.
So I know there are some private companies. I remember when I was speaking at WordCamp Montclair, one of the speakers came from Canada and she had found that she was able to get funded by, I believe it was Yoast, had options for people who are underrepresented to get their costs basically covered. So I think it's very nice. Nice that some of these private companies are coming in and filling this niche, but it's also frustrating and annoying that they have to come in and fill this niche.
Yeah, here's an example. I think I've got the right one on the screen.
Yes.
I just quickly Googled it and this was the one that seemed most sensible.
Yeah.
The Yoast Diversity Fund. So
they've funded me many times and I'm very grateful.
So they are very good at funding. And I mean, she was a university person, so she's used to incredibly painful amounts of paperwork. And she said that their paperwork was actually very simple and straightforward.
Oh, nice. So we know that companies can step into the breach here. And I'm guessing typically they'll pick one or two or three or however many people and they'll just fund them with the amount that's necessary. So in this case, it sounds like it's €1,000. What I kind of liked about this initiative, though, is that people like you and I could dip in and do like little micro payments, right? You know, we might have just $30 or $20 or whatever, and it could add into that little pot. And over time, that pot could reach the point at which it was fulfilled, and then that thing could happen. And over at the WPCC, we've seen Alex Stein, who has been, who has the pot that was funding
him got full off. Accessibility developer. Yeah.
Right.
Alex
right.
is top notch.
But presumably not just funded by one company. So, you know, Yoast come along and give the €1,000. This is probably multiple smaller donations, which eventually add up to fill the pot. That's going away. But hopefully, Courtney can chat to Winstina at some point, and figure out between them where they might go with the funding. Dave, anything to add on that? Sorry.
No, I think the others have sort of covered everything on this side. Mm-hmm. It's a good initiative to try and do, and whether there's a way that some of the private companies could then kind of fund a particular part on something like this to kind of sort of come through, or have a directory to say these companies like funding people. So those that are in need or require assistance can kind of get like, oh, here's a directory of people that could try and help you.
It does seem like it really does seem like this platform is really in the purview of what WordPress could do, right? It feels like there could be a WordPress solution built. I mean, I know things like Give could probably be, recycled to do something like this. But anyway, it seems that we're going to have to find a new home for support inclusion in tech, but also the WPCC. But it sounds like that is being looked at. Okay, there we go. Right. If you were going to go to WordCamp Asia this week, one of the things which came along and filled up the agenda, if you know what I mean, like from a non-WordPress user standpoint, I would imagine that most of the names on the speaker list were probably unfamiliar to you. You know, if you're a WordPresser, then you've probably heard of a lot of these people, like I have. But they announced that Tim Ferriss was going to be joining in the speaker lineup, and that kind of put a really interesting spin on it to me, because suddenly a WordPress event had this, well, is it me or is he just like a bit of a superstar? I mean, obviously he's not kind of on the level of, you know, Taylor Swift or anything like that, but pretty famous, right? And getting him at an event like a WordCamp, suddenly I wonder if it, like, you know, suddenly some people who wouldn't have gone thought, that's interesting, I'll go along and see. Anyway, no more. Tim has had to cancel. I don't know what the reasons were, but it sounded like, and I can't remember the exact wording, but in the email I got today or last night, my inclination was that it was personal reasons. So maybe ill health or, you know, family reasons or something like that. So I don't think this is a case of Tim pulling out because he just didn't want to be involved anymore. It's more a case of having to pull out. But last week on the show live, we raised this and Michelle was here and we thought it was hysterical because Michelle said, you know, nobody will show up to my talk now that I'm at the same time as Tim. She found out that was happening. Anyway, Michelle, I think you're on a plane at the moment, so you won't be hearing this. No more. You're free to consume Tim Ferriss's audience lunch, if you like. But that's apropos of nothing. But if you were going to go to WordCamp Asia, and you were hoping to see Tim Ferriss, I'm sorry.
I have to say, it was very, very funny because I think the way I was watching, I think the way it happened is that Michelle said something like along the lines of, well, I really pity the person who's having to talk at the same time as Tim. And then you went to check and it was her.
It was her. It was just, yeah. Like, and then so, she had a bit of self-pity.
So well done, Michelle.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she's put some ointment in Tim Ferriss's tea. now he's got a stomach bump. Here we go. A few comments that have come in. Courtney says, OCF. So this is back to the story we had a moment ago. Was great being tax deductible. So I guess from the US side, there's some benefit there. Open Collective, the Largan organization is not tax deductible, but will continue on. Jess Frick says, let this serve as a lesson. Do not cross Michelle. That's right. Even the mighty Tim Ferriss with his 4-hour work week can be unhinged by Michelle. Right. And the other thing to say is Andrew Palmer says, we know that Canadians say a lot. He says Americans say like a lot. So we should have a WordCamp like, which would be held in the US. I think that's great. WordCamp Lite. Any commiserity? That's not a word. Any sort of commiserations about Tim Ferriss, or does it matter? Did that even matter? Was that just a storm in a teacup thing? Do you care that an international superstar is showing up to a WordPress event, or was that just a bit of window dressing? Dave says voodoo dolls do work. Yeah, Michelle, we'll have to check her luggage when we get to Asia and make sure there's no voodoo dolls in there. I thought it was quite an interesting experiment, I have to say. And obviously now that experiment has collapsed, we won't get to find out what that did. But I was genuinely interested to see what kind of an impact that would have had. So, you know, when you go to any kind of WordCamp event where Matt Mullenweg shows up, you can more or less guarantee that the event venue will be full, that almost every seat will be taken, comes on to speak. And I was curious to see if if Tim would have had the same effect. And if he did have the same effect, did that sort of justify that experiment, if you know what I mean? Putting a non-WordPressy person, and I know he blogs, right? So there was totally a route in for him to be talking at a WordPress event. But I was interested to see if that had worked, is that a recipe for future events? You know, invite people who are outside of the community in order to drum up support, drum up, I don't know, media interest, get the wider world talking about WordPress and the events. And anyway, there you go.
Just my what I'm really curious about, I mean, I was a bit, I thought the choice was interesting because I think the Tim Ferriss was huge a few years ago, but I feel like, I don't know. But however, I thought it was interesting, but I am really curious to find out how these invites work, because do the invitees, do they have to follow the same protocol as other WordPress speakers? That is to say, you pay your own costs, or are they invite? Well, it's a question to ask, because I know that these people can command huge speaking fees. So are they or are they not? I really would love for it to be a transparent process, because I don't know. I have no idea.
As a meetup organizer, I am explicitly forbidden from paying someone.
Exactly.
I'm also forbidden from paying them to travel. I'm forbidden from paying them anything. So I do everything on Zoom. So there's no travel fees at all.
Great. It's an interesting conundrum, isn't it? Because somebody of the stature of Tim Ferriss, and I'm guessing that he's financially fairly secure, right? I'm guessing that Tim is not worrying about his bank balance particularly much. So if he's required to show up with no fee payable, that's not a big deal for him. But I it would be interesting to peel back the curtain there and see if there was some nominal fee that might have been paid, or discussions about that. My guess from what Jen said and from everything that I've come to understand
about
WordPress.
It's against the rules.
Right, exactly. Is that it would be explicitly against the rules. And we have no intuition that that rule has been broken. And I sort of have the intuition that I think Matt Mullenweg was on his podcast a few weeks prior. And I wonder I wonder if they have some sort of, you know, if there's a friendship
how the invite happened. But I'm still, I'm just curious, because I know it's not the only by invitation. And I just would like to know how that works, because we just had a conversation about how to fund speakers
now,
and so on. So it's relevant.
There could be payment from a private entity to him to compensate him for attending the event. That is, of course, completely permitted. But the event itself, being a WordCamp, can't pay.
I see. Yeah. So someone else could be paying. Right.
Yes.
If I paid for Peacher to go to
Correct.
In the same way Yoast.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes,
in the exact same way that Yoast is able to fund all of these people
right.
and whatnot. So
right.
it's entirely possible that there was compensation. It's just the compensation is against the rules of running the word camps.
Yeah. Now that all of that's been said, I'm going to say confident, in fact, very confident that the rules in that case would not have been broken, but it would be interesting to peel back the curtain and see if there was something going on, you know, in other ways.
Probably never know.
No, probably not. But I also, I stick by the interest in it, because I do think that it would be fascinating one time to get somebody who is just on that different level of popularity, fame, whatever you want to call it. Who can just tweet out a thing, one tweet, and suddenly everybody's drawn to the WordCamp Asia page or WordCamp Europe or what have you. I think that would be a really fascinating experiment to run. And whether it's one with Tim in the US or, you know, somewhere else again, we'd have to see. But I would be fascinating. And you're right, Peacher, Andrew Palmer. Sorry, I can't put it on the screen because it hasn't come through. But he said he actually invited during the Tim Ferriss podcast, so we know that that's how the invite happened, but yeah, the rest of it is a bit of a mystery. Okay, anyway, it's gone, and so he won't be there, so we'll all go and see Michelle or Wes or Perth, which are all happening at the same time. So okay, Alrighty. Anything else to add about that, or shall we move on? All right. In that case, we'll move on. Alrighty. Okay. All right. So this is a piece that we featured a few weeks ago. So the news itself is not that fresh. But I just wanted to mention the fact that I had done a podcast recently with the person who wrote the article. It's Thomas J. Rafe. And he produced an article. Oh, I don't know if there's a date at the very top.
Yeah, 3rd of January. In December. Oh, January.
Okay. Yeah, January here, maybe written.
I was looking at it in December.
Yeah. Okay. You helped him put this together. And we did a podcast, which honestly, it's so interesting listening to him talk this through because it's very meaty in terms of technical details, this article. But the bottom line goes like this. And like I say, it's on the WP Tavern. It was the most recent episode, wptavern.com/podcast is episode 110. And this just confounds my intuition when I heard this. And this is that in the year of 2023, the tech stack that he's got, which is in many cases root access to the server. So it's not a plugin sitting on top of WordPress. It's like beneath WordPress. And he's getting the server logs in real time. And he's got 7 clusters. And he says that in some times of the week, he's getting 20 million logs written per second. And at that point, my jaw kind of hit the floor. And I was thinking, what even is that? Like, how is that even possible? It's all about attacking WordPress websites. And the bottom line is this. I thought it would have been plugins that were the problem. His data shows that it's stolen session cookies. So, I don't know, somebody sends you a malicious email, you open it on your Mac gets infected with something, and one of the byproducts of that infection is that the browser is giving up its session cookies. And if the browser gives up your WordPress session cookie, then whoever gets that cookie is you. No ifs, no buts, two-factor authentication will not do anything to help. Nothing will help. They can be you for a period of time. And he found the data that up 60% of the attacks in 2023 that he was observing were these attacks. And the implication is pretty terrifying, actually.
Yes. the majority of The majority of hacks going on is your device is being compromised.
Yeah.
Typically by one example that he had was someone had received an email and it had a PDF attachment. And the email was about the latest Facebook class action lawsuit. So there was an actual real Facebook class action lawsuit settlement at the same time as this email. So if you opened that PDF, just the action of opening the PDF ran the embedded script. If you just deleted the email and did not open the PDF, you were okay. But if you opened the PDF, it installed the script onto your computer, and then your computer was compromised. And literally every single website you logged in, your WordPress site, your bank website, all of these different websites, as long as your session cookie was valid with the server, then they were able to be logged in. So if you logged into your bank, were there for only 1 minute and immediately logged out, there's a very good chance that they didn't get the opportunity to use that cookie. But you have to actually click the log out button. And it's also really important that when people are using websites with sensitive data like their bank, actually click the log out. Closing your browser does nothing. Clearing your browser's cookies does nothing. You have to click log out to terminate the session cookie on their server.
Right, right. It's kind of interesting. So typically, in the case of WordPress, the session cookie, so if you log in, let's say you're an admin, you're going to be logged in for a period of 48 hours. But if you click that Remember Me button, you're going to be logged in for a period of 14 days. And so if you click the login, you know, Remember Me, and they infect your computer on the day that you did that, a few hours, they got 14 days to wreak havoc as you. My bank, I don't know what it's like in the US, but banks are getting seriously aggressive, at least in my experience, at logging me out after a teeny tiny period of inactivity. So yep. I was on my online bank this morning and I went to do something else, but that was a matter of minutes. And I came back, tried to interact with my bank again. It had gone. That session had gone. So honestly, it must have been under 120 seconds. So I think maybe the banks are onto this, but your WordPress website could be as valuable to you as your bank account, right? You've got this giant
WooCommerce store. E-commerce website. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some of these e-commerce websites are processing millions of dollars.
And they are totally you. They're indistinguishable from you. Anyway, the point of this was go and listen to the podcast.
In fact, they can even kick you out of the site.
And it's really interesting.
Keep your session cookie.
The log files that kind of prove it as well. So, for example, all of a sudden there's this Chrome version 5, which was released like 15 years ago, or I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that, goes to a URL that it should not have been able to access correctly. It should have been redirected to a login page, but it didn't. It went to that page from nowhere and was active. So they know, like Thomas knows, that's malicious. The log doesn't look malicious unless you know what's going on, but we go back in time and we see that IP address and that person never, ever, ever, ever went to a login page at any point. So we know. And it's really interesting. He explains it far better than I do. And we talk about cake quite a bit. We describe things as cake. So if you like cake and security, Bob's your uncle. Anybody want to talk about Dave?
Yes.
Teacher?
I read this the other day and thought, something such a massive proportion, like 60% on there, it probably takes someone in core a matter of a couple of days just to say, have a tick box on by default, match your session cookie to your IP address. And that would negate that.
That doesn't work for a lot of people. If people are on VPN systems, then they can end up with a recycled IP address periodically. If someone is traveling and they have their mobile phone, they can be moving between towers and changing over their IP addresses.
But wouldn't that work from the point of view of, like, your IP address would change? Often. So you would have to repeatedly log in, which would still
it would be a nightmare.
But it would work.
I've seen Calvin, because masking an IP address is incredibly easy.
Interesting. Okay.
Because then that would also mean
spoofing an IP address is very easy.
Yeah, but I guess it is interesting because you're adding a layer of complexity. So there'd be two things to know at that point there, wouldn't there? You'd have to know the IP address and have the session cookie. And typically maybe they can get, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, Dave, carry on.
And that was just thinking, because if you did have like that bit on there and you weren't traveling and you were always at home and you just wanted that extra bit, then
if you want to use something like Cloudflare, if you're always at your own IP address, you can restrict access to areas like all of WP admin to just specific IP addresses.
Yeah, because some of these bits would then be relying on people being a bit more techie than doing a self-installed of WordPress on that bit, don't know these things. Try and add those few extra hoops on that slide. It's kind of like default on there, where there's a few simple bits we could try and put in place or just educate people a bit more.
Yeah. There had been a thread in Calvin Alkin, who's a security researcher from originally from Germany. I think he's now in Spain. He had gotten into a whole thing on how that would actually create problems for more users and wouldn't really do a lot to enhance security because you can get around it.
Yeah, interesting. So in the podcast, Thomas said one of the features that he liked about Solid WP, which have a security plugin, it's Solid Security. He specifically called out the fact that binding the IP address to the session is one of the things that they do, which he liked, but I can't get into the technical detail because frankly I'm not that clever, but regardless of what the solution here is, if you're in WordPress and there's any chance that that WordPress is valuable to you, then the simple thing to do is just log out. Just click the log out button. That will then destroy, if you like, the session cookie, and then even if it's stolen, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
So that hygiene element, which, you know, Dave, I guess, is alluding to there, you know, learning a bit more and understanding a bit more about what you're doing. Because honestly, with the best will in the world, I log out from almost nothing that I wish to stay logged into. You know, I've got my Gmail open. I'm logging into that when it forces me to log into it. The same would be true of a whole bunch of things. And it's purely convenience. But maybe there's something to be said about this. Yeah, yeah. But it was frightening to me that the whole 2FA thing, which in my head was kind of my final layer of security. It's fascinating that this completely obliterates all of that. Oh, yeah. Anyway, go and listen to it. Thomas J. Rafe talking about it. James Lau in the comments, thank you. Can't raise it on the screen. I'm sorry, I can't see them all. But I can read it on YouTube. It says, I need to read and understand this cookie thing. Still clearing backlogs of articles and podcasts. Yeah, it's about 40 minutes-ish long, 45 minutes like that. And he sums it up really nicely. So go and check it out. And then Max says, couldn't they just, so this is to Dave's point, I think, couldn't they just create an IP address that goes along with your login? And if the IP address changes, you automatically get logged out and have to re-log in. Yeah, that was what I was sort of alluding to. But yeah, I guess Jen's right. You know, if you're in a train or something, you're going to be getting logged out. Like literally you log in and then as soon as you've logged in, you'll get logged out again. Couldn't we just use Andrew Palmer, I should say, says, couldn't we just use interactive logout, which is a plugin. Sorry, apologies. What did I say? Interactive.
Yes. I mean, it's just still in there doing stuff.
Interactive logout. You have to play a little game or something. Couldn't we just use inactive logout, which is a plugin in the repository? That's Andrew Palmer's suggestion. I don't know that plugin.
It depends on whether the inactive logout is something that lives on the server and automatically logs you out via PHP processes that are running, or if it tries to live in the JavaScript layer in your browser, which requires your browser to actually be open and running.
Okay. So there's your answer, Andrew. From Jim.
I don't know that specific plugin and what it uses.
Yeah.
But you can always get into a discussion with Calvin. So
Calvin Snico, SNICCO. You can find him there. He's on the Twitter. I can't remember what his Twitter handle is, but he's definitely there. And we have a comment which I can actually show this time, and it says, "Hello, Mark Westgard." Mark's in Taiwan, I'm guessing by now. Mark, what temperature is it? I'm going to pack tonight, and I want to know what to pack. Is it warm or is it cold? Please let me know. Answers on a postcard.
There's the internet. You can look it up.
I think I'll be into it.
I'll do it for you.
Let's move on. I'm not going to do that one because we're kind of running out of time. I thought this was quite an interesting article. So, hats it to Toby Crins. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your surname. I just thought this was a fascinating article. It was on the Tavern. It's called "You Don't Need to Know Code to Build a Successful WP Business." And it's not like any other article I've ever seen. It's kind of like interviews, little mini micro interviews with 8 or 9 people in the WordPress space who have had air quotes, I'm making air quotes, success in the WordPress space without learning to code. Now, I can code a bit, but anything that I code is likely to be horribly dangerous or basically not work. But I've managed to make a living out of WordPress in that way. Jen and Peacha, you know, accessibility and UI and UX. Dave, let's begin with you. You're more code than, you've got plugins and all that kind of stuff, but are you more agency or are you more code or?
I was just going to point out the one keyword in the title that's being missed out is the WordPress plugin business rather than business generally around WordPress. So, but yes, I think from my side, having sort of taken on some plugins recently on there, that's been a good foundation of what I don't know everything on these bits. You can then kind of use that as a template to figure out what's been done on that side through. But then other people, I'm sort of seeing on the top there, someone else has built something for them. They kind of take kind of product ownership of that, but then outsource who does the actual sort of development work on that side, which is quite a good sort of mix on there. Someone can get the ideas and someone else can keep up to date on the tech stacks to kind of go through. So yeah, if you've got enough money to do those sorts of things, and that's definitely a good valid route to try and go down.
I find that really fascinating. Well, I'm not confident enough to do that kind of thing. You know, just in the position I'm in, I've got too many other like plates that I'm trying to spin at the same time. But the idea that you can sort of step into the marketplace, buy a plugin, and I've seen that this week, isn't it? Barn 2?
Barn 2 sold several.
Like 14 or 9 or anyway, a fairly jaw-dropping number that they're able to shed and still have a business. And they've been bought by somebody else. And obviously that person has an intuition that either they're going to market them or they're going to, you know, carry on developing them. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Peacher, sorry, I interrupted.
No, I was going to say something, but I don't know if it actually is relevant with Dave's point that you made that last year at WordCamp Asia, Ali Nimmons gave a talk on how to make a living out of WordPress without knowing any code. But yes, this article is more on the WordPress plugins business kind of side. But yeah, fascinating.
Because
makes you think the world is full of possibilities.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say, Peacher, is your audience, your sort of like UI, UX, and increasingly accessibility space, are you going straight at the WordPress space in order to sell that content? Or do you pitch it in other channels that I'm unfamiliar with?
I've always been quite not careful, but I've always like really very much been tool agnostic. When I teach design, I don't use any tools at all. So no, I don't. I just operate in the WordPress space a lot, but I don't. You could take WordPress entirely out of the equation, and it would be the same.
But how did it end up being WordPress? Is that a function of the events being, you know, easy to access and the community being nice? You know, because you could have showed up to all manner of different things, and yet we see you on WordPress and stuff all the time.
It's entirely Dan Mabies and Paul Smart's fault. Because I started going to the London meetups, and they sucked me in, whether I liked it or not, basically. No, it was definitely the community, and also because I saw a need. Because when I started talking at WordCamp, WordPress events, there was hardly anyone. There was very, very few people that were talking about design, and it still is, it's improved a little bit, but it still is not the, I don't think that it's improved hugely. Now companies and plugins and agencies have a different attitude towards design for sure. But I saw the need to actually sort of fill that gap. So that's how I did it. And yes, it is easy access and it's very nice, and then you start making friends with everyone and therefore it's like here we are, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of Dan Mabey and Paul Smart, they revitalized, they brought back to life. Did you go? They brought back the WordPress.
No, because I arrived I was 2 days late.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Okay. Well, they brought back the WordPress London meetup, and it's gonna be held each and every month. Third Thursday of the month or something. Anyway, I can't remember. But they did one
last Thursday.
Last Thursday of the month. Maybe it's that. They did one on the 29th of February, and by all accounts, there was a big audience there. You know, they managed to get a lot of people into the room, I think on the higher side of what they were hoping for. So it's back. If you want to go and explore that in the UK, WPLDN.UK is the URL, WPLDN.UK, each and every month, gather in London with some of your WordPress friends. It's being held, I believe, at the Klaviyo offices. I don't actually know where that is, but the Klaviyo offices is where it's taking place. So there you go, Peacher. Thank you for reminding me about that. Jen, anything to add to that piece before we move on? Not the WordPress London bit, the bit before.
Nothing to add to the WordPress London.
Sorry.
As far as WordPress plugin business is, at the end of the day, it's a business. The things needed to run a business involve business sense, budgets, and most important, networking. Networking and sales and marketing and who to get involved with and how to get involved with them and all of that. Actually writing the code is only a small portion of running the business.
True. So anyway, that was a nice article, certainly worth having a look. And it was just an interesting take on a WordPress Tavern article, which I haven't seen before, which I thought was quite nice. 29th of February, that one came out. A couple of things I just want to mention. I exchange emails periodically with a lovely chap called Lawrence Ladomery, and he's organized a new WordPress biz dev community. It's right at the beginning, so I'm not entirely sure where this is going to go, but he is trying to foster a community, grow a community in the WordPress space where he's connecting WordPress professionals. The URL, dead easy to remember, it's wpbiz with a Z, a Z, dot dev, wpbiz.dev, and you go and you can join the community. It's literally days old. So if you fancy exploring that, you know, you're fed up with Facebook groups and you want to mix with a bunch of like-minded WordPressers, go and check it out. So I won't ask for any comments on that because I would very much doubt there's anything to say. I just want to mention a couple of things which I've seen come out this week. I can't speak to their utility or quality or any of that because I literally just saw that they existed. First one is this. It's called Block Studio, blockstudio.dev. They claim that they're a framework for building WordPress blocks. So that might be kind of interesting to you. It looks like there's a focus on the code from the website itself. So it's not a what you see is what you get thing. And the other one, like them or hate them, I'm imagining Jen's going to go hate them, but I don't know. This is a new plugin called Announcer, where they enable you to put, you know, like bars of page and things like that. And I can almost feel the intake of Jen's breath. No, she's shaking her head. So we'll quickly move on. Anyway, it exists. It's
close,
called...
Close.
Yeah, yeah, quick close. Okay, move on. All right, there it is. You can see it. It's Arkash Web. I thought that. And then we mentioned earlier that Solid WP had this setting in their security platform, which enabled you to bind the IP address to the login cookie session, if you like. And they did a bit of a breakdown a video. So I can't obviously show it to you. But they did a video all about the latest Brix theme vulnerability. Brix is a page builder. So when it says theme, you might be imagining that it's, you know, do your headers and your footers and your colors. It's not. It enables you to do think Elementor, essentially, all of that kind of stuff. And they had a really, really, really severe problem recently.
Yes.
Got a 10 on the CVSS, which, and a 10 is like the unicorn.
Catastrophic.
Yeah.
It's catastrophic.
It's like,
it's
drop
absolutely
everything.
It basically means that all the person has to do is visit your website and put some specific stuff in with their visit request and they can hack you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So basically 0 day, easy to exploit, no technical skill required, all of that kind of stuff. You know, your literal donkey
and,
could do it if you just gave him the keyboard.
Speaking of Tom, he actually found that there was a number of hacks going on starting, I believe, around February 7th, which was before the patch was announced, before the patch was released, before any of that stuff. So you actually need to go back if you're trying to restore a backup from before a site was hacked. You have to definitely go back to like the very beginning of February to restore.
Yeah.
And then you have to load in the brand new updated version of Brix before you actually make the site live again, so it doesn't get hacked.
Okay, so there's a timestamp here. If you were before that date, I think you said February the 6th or something like that. If you've got a backup, if you're hacked, if you have reason
which
to believe,
many people are and they don't know, so
right,
then
Tom, the backup may not satisfy. Yeah.
So Tom's product, we watch your website. They will scan your website for free. So they're not going to clean it for free, but they will scan it for free. And their cleaning fees are very reasonable.
Yeah.
They've been doing tons of it.
I'll bet. I mean, stuff like this must be, you know, manna from heaven in a certain respect. It has been patched. And they go to say in the article that, you know, this isn't flame war. They're not trying to say never use the Brix Builder again because they... Bullet point here, they say that the Brix team, once it was found out, the Brix team fixed the issue within hours. But Jen's point still stands, backups may not get you out of jail. If you're lucky, then it will. but there's a chance that your backup will also carry
the infection. Yeah, Calvin, who was the security researcher who found it, said that the BRICS team was extremely responsive and easy to work with.
We like to hear that. Andrew Palmer says he went to WPLDN. Oh, actually, that's one that I can put on the screen. There you go. There's Andrew's lovely face. He went to WPLDN. What did you just say? What did you say?
Please? I just said, what a shame.
Oh.
So it would have been really nice. But I got in on Saturday and he was on. They should have waited for me, done it next week.
And he says he sold all of his plugins to Dave. Dave? This Dave.
Dave who?
Dave here. Dave Gray, right there. Dave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I love this show. Sometimes there's a bit of serendipity where stuff like that happens. So Andrew Palmer in the comments sold all of his plugins to Dave Gray in the show. That's great.
You heard it here first. Apart from like,
Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's absolutely lovely.
Because I saw that Andrew had sold his plugins, but I didn't know who to. So you're a proper plugin entrepreneur.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
sorry, Dave, please go.
Yeah, so sort of most of them have got quite a long sort of legacy dating back before Divi did quite a few of these things back like 2018, 2019, but there's still some of them with some functionality that's still not in Divi itself, which you kind of discover and sort of bring forwards. And there's also a few other plugins from that bit that me to do my own sort of websites as a service on that side would be useful on there to try and sort of pick them through. So, because Andrew was kind of sort of focused on sort of Bursa and his other agency work, he kind of just didn't want to abandon them because there's still quite a few people using them. So I thought, yes, on it. I took over Divi Form DB back in January. So I thought, well, in for a penny, let's take the old lot. And most of last month was making up the new product pages and sort of doing a few minor bug fixes on those to try and get them up to speed. So between that and heads up, I'm going to be busy for a bit.
That's right. I appreciate your time all the more now. Isn't this community amazing? Honestly, like it's WordPress. For goodness sake, how is that any business in creating more news than you can discover in a week? And yet every single week, I'm confounded by the amount that I have to leave on the table. Every week, I probably read hundreds, not necessarily read them all, but I go through hundreds of articles, most of which I can't use because there's just not enough time. It's just WordPress. It's just a CMS. There's so much to talk about. And there's a perfect example. I missed the Dave buys Andrew Palmer collection of plugins. Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And it all started a long time back from when Andrew just sort of put a picture up on meeting one of his other sort of colleagues at a coppa place in sort of Maidenhead. And I said, oh, you're actually there. And like, oh, no, he lives over that side. Oh, well, I live over this side, basically 40 minutes drive away. So kind of met up twice in the middle and sort of talked stuff over. So that's why I keep joking. You've got the WordCamp meetup. You have like Word Cafe. For like a smaller kind of a few person meetups on that side to go through.
That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Lovely stuff. Right. Okay. We've got about 9 minutes left. So I'll try to get through what I've got to do here quickly. This last one, I'm going to be very, very mindful here because caveat emptor, no, not caveat emptor, full disclosure. When I do the WP Tavern podcast, I do that and I get paid by Audrey Cap. And so I have to, you know, get that out there. But Jen put this onto my horizon. Actually, I think this was kind of inevitable. This was going to come in my direction, whether Jen put it there or not. This seems like the story that maybe we'll hear about for the days, weeks, and months to come. It surfaced first on a website called 404 Media, 404media.co, and it's titled A WordPress Fire Hose Allows AI Companies to Buy Access to a Million Posts a Day. I had a chance to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it as best as I know. WordPress.com. So let's get that out there. WordPress.com. But also, I think, potentially WordPress.org websites with Jetpack enabled, plus Tumblr posts. The accusation in this post is that the data from those posts, and I don't know what kind of data that is, whether that is simply the front end, what the front end of the website sees. So the text that you write, the images that you create and so on, is or was being given to AI companies. I don't know if the word there should be sold to AI companies or provided to AI companies, but obviously, Jen, what's your feeling?
Sure. So mostly this is something that's been ongoing. So originally, they were making this data available via an API to be consumed basically for free. And they've been doing, WordPress.com has been doing that apparently for a little while now. Now they have turned that around and monetized it. Many sites like Reddit and Twitter have also been making this kind of data easily consumable by an API. And several people have asked, what's the difference between my blog is published on the internet and this whole fire hose thing? Well, it's basically like if someone were to send you, you know, tractor trailers worth of berries versus all packaged up and ready to go versus you having to go out into the fields and pick all the berries yourself. So yes, the data is publicly available. The berries are out in the field, but they're packaging it up and delivering it directly to you with the big tractor trailers, basically.
So they're making it easy to consume for the
extremely
AI,
easy
right?
to okay. consume. Yes. Right. And so now that data is actually being sold to companies like Midjourney and OpenAI to ingest directly into their algorithms to use in their large language models. And the question is this is apparently also for paid WordPress.com, possibly paid Jetpack users. Also, what happens when, you know, things were marked as private? What happens when things were marked as password protected? What about password protected websites? That data is available to these APIs. What if you have things like no index in your robots? Well, there's a good chance that wouldn't make it through. What about people who are literally unable to opt out, such as people who created a WordPress blog in the past and they died? The WordPress blog still exists, but there's no way they could ever opt out. They're dead. There's a lot of privacy concerns and the fact that you have to go chase down the opt-out clause. And it does appear that some data like comments may be going in. And that definitely puts you in some questionable GDPR territory. I'm not a GDPR expert by any means, but I know that on a lot of forms, you're required to have an opt-in checkbox by GDPR when doing form submissions. So
is the story here, like my expectation with, let's say I've got a website on Squarespace, or I'm using Facebook, or I'm using Twitter, or WordPress.com, yep. or whatever. My expectation in the year 2024 is that the AI companies want everything from all the places,
yes.
right? And they as much as they
can want to consume it all.
Right. So that's a given. But I guess, is the question here, is it the opt-out, opt-in bit? You know, like this would this all have
that's
been fine in
it.
Your opinion if you'd have had the option right at the start to say, okay, I'm opted out by default, but I wish to opt in, or, you know, whatever that.
That would definitely make it much more palatable, especially okay. since, you know, this data is being ingested by all of these algorithms and whatnot, and you may not really want your data to be ingested by all of these algorithms. But mostly it's just that most people aren't aware that buried in the terms of service and the terms of service that changed over the years, that this is even happening to their data.
So a few interesting
Nathan.
Comments about this. Yeah, I'm just going to raise a yeah. couple of comments, Peter, quickly. First of all, I can't see Andrew's one on the platform, so I'm just going to say it. Andrew said there is an opt-out. Yeah, I think that's the case,
yeah,
isn't it? But is it checked? Okay. And then yeah. another one, which I can actually put on the platform, is Birgit Olsen. Hello, Birgit.
Exactly.
She says it should always be opt-in by default. I wonder
by
if you meant that.
Opt-out, you can't. It has to be opt-in, not opt-out.
So does she? That's oh, I see. So I think what Birgit's saying there is
you have to intentionally opt in.
Okay, great. Right, that's what I would have expected that to say. And then
Jess is
joining us. Thank you, Jess. She says,
"Yeah,
private
there's a lot of lack of information about Jess. This and unanswered
so
questions from the media."
Let's clear this up because this is important. So Jess is often on this show. She works with Pressable. Pressable is a host that
I
definitely
use. Nathan. So
yep.
Yeah, and, exactly. For clients as well.
Jetpack is on a website that I use. And so Jess says, privately hosted Jetpack enabled sites are not, and she's capitalized, not included. There is a lot of misinformation being shared. And that is one of those pieces. So, okay, let's take that.
Thanks, Jess.
Let's take that and parse that. If you have a privately hosted Jetpack enabled site, and I guess I'm guessing you're meaning whether it's on Pressable or just anywhere, that it is not included and we've got to be mindful of misinformation. What we need with this story is a source of truth, don't we? We need one article where we can go to where it's all listed out in detail by somebody that we can categorically say, okay, that's straight from the horse's mouth. Because as is always the case when social media gets involved, and I might add platforms like I'm producing, you know, here we are throwing our opinions about, it does muddy the water a little bit. Dave, I'm conscious that you've not said anything about this. Do you want to?
I'm just thinking from while what they're doing is technically not right. I'm just always thinking from things on the technical side. If you're going to have companies like this going around scraping all your sites and basically taking it all for free, if you provide it through an API, they won't be hitting your public web servers and using resources on there. And more importantly, they're making some money from it where they could just be taking it for free regardless. So while how they've done it isn't right on there, from a purely technical side of things, they're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Right, right.
Now, I've been overly simplified on there, but yeah, just thinking if they're crawling the sites to get this lot, regardless, if you provide them a door to that bit, you can control and throttle that bit and make some money from it at the same time.
Okay. I do apologize about the overrunning nature of this podcast. We'll do one more. Are you all right for like a couple more minutes?
Yep.
Jen? Feature. Okay. So anyway, that one came up on the 404 website. I'll just pop it on the screen again. This feels like a story which is not going to go away particularly quickly. And it would be nice to get the authoritative version of that. Jess has come back and said, you are right, Nathan. I very occasionally.
Just in general.
It's not all that often. But thank you, Jess. So let's hope that this story solidifies itself and we can all come to a solution that we're entirely happy with. Because it does feel like tempers are sort of starting to fray about this.
I mean, Automatic needs to put out a press release detailing exactly what they have and haven't made available and to whom, and really answering people's questions. That's really what needs to happen, is that Automatic needs to issue a press release and really clarify exactly what is being sold.
Right. What did happen? What is happening? And who is it happening to? That kind of thing, so that we can. And also surfacing, if you're not sure where that opt-in box is, surfacing that so it's really nice and straightforward to find. Okay. So this will be the last piece. I do apologize. We had a variety of other different bits and pieces, but I'll just mention this one. It was mentioned right at the top of the show. I think Max mentioned it. Not a user of this, so I don't really know a lot about the plugin itself, but there's been development on a plugin called Quickly. It was a block tool which came along with a suite of blocks. I think they had some quite clever stuff in there, like grid and things like that. They have decided to, out of the blue, discontinue the development of Quickly. So if you are a user of Quickly, it does seem like development is stopping as of this moment. There's going to be no more developments. And I'll just read it quickly. It is with a heavy heart that we have made the decision to discontinue the development of Quickly plugin. We understand that this news may come as a disappointment. We want to assure you that our team is committed to assisting you during this transition period, and then goes on to say the usual stuff. I have caught sight of an email which portrayed a very, very much more angst-ridden version of this story, and it would appear that the founder of the plugin has been the recipient of behavior online that caused them to reconsider whether they wanted to carry this on. And obviously, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but if that's the case, that's sad, for one thing. You know, nobody wants to be sort of beaten out of the community, and it would be a shame if that was in fact the case. But you know, if it's a popular thing, which it sounds like it might have been, there's going to be a lot of people suddenly scratching their heads. Maybe there's a bunch of people whose businesses rely on this. You know, for the last year, you've been shipping Quickly-based websites, and suddenly you got to find something else to do. Jen, I think you threw this in my direction, right?
Yes, it's been blowing up the socials all weekend.
Okay.
So I don't know the developer. I did not personally use this particular plugin, so I can't really speak to what was going on under the hood or in the background. I definitely know that running a business is hard, and it can have a lot of challenges, and sometimes you hit the point that the particular aggravation or frustration compared to the net revenue that's coming in just no longer makes sense because of situations in your business life or your personal life. So I'm not trying to put words into Lewis's mouth, but I'm just trying to say, you know, there could be things that we don't know about that are happening. There could have been things shared privately that we don't know about that happened. I know that the community is very upset because there were quite a few people who were using this, and some of them are currently really hoping that another company perhaps purchases quickly to at least keep it stable and supported and secure.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Peacher, were you going to say something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sympathizing with both. I understand that this can happen. But also, I saw someone tweet, actually, I think it was a screenshot from Facebook of someone saying, all of my clients' websites use Quickly. What am I going to do? Like, and I'm sympathizing a lot because I said that, you know, I've had to scramble together a Thrivecart page because I'm having gremlins in my website. And the probable reason why I'm having them is that I'm using a minor, very small plugin that helps me use CSS Grid with Beaver Builder. And I've run so many tests, I'm 99% sure that that's the issue. My entire site relies on that plugin. And I don't think it's... And now I'm like, okay, I'm actually having to build my course sales page on a subdomain, and because I can't rebuild the entire site now. And that's a tiny plugin that, because now Beaver Builder has a... I mean, I don't know. It's not proven 100% yet, but it's likely that that's what's happening. So I feel sort of torn as well, because I'm thinking 1,000% support small plugins and small businesses. And I really believe in that. They're very important for the whole ecosystem. But when this happens to you, that a minor plugin that you rely on dies a death because the market evolves and they can't keep up.
Well, since the announcement is still very fresh, and they're saying that they will support it through the end of the year, December, I mean, there is definitely a chance that they may be selling this to someone else, and hopefully that other person would at least maintain it in terms of security, bug patches, that kind of thing. Yeah. Dave, you want another plugin?
I'm busy enough already, thank you.
Yeah, it's an instant purchase. Pete Ingersoll says, the email that I alluded to indicates negativity by unidentified WordPress influencers, in quotes, who don't like Gutenberg. We need to be careful that, as that is a vague and surprising accusation. Yeah, the public version is very different from the email that I read, where one was full of angst and the other one was very sort of businesslike and professional. So, okay. And 1,503 websites have Quickly installed as of today.
Can have a little margin of error. So,
yeah. Yes, indeed. So, anyway, it's a lot. It's enough. There's people going to be worried about that.
There's enough that there are some agencies who, you know, had picked one builder. And
yeah,
when, you know, just like the Bricks vulnerability, when that came out, you know, there were people going, oh my God, I have 50 hacked websites.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I know. And can you imagine, you know, so the scenario that I'm in, you know, if 50 of my websites go down now, I'm supposed to be going to WordCamp Asia on a plane in the morning. Suddenly, I'm not. It's the kind of life-changing moment, isn't it? And here we are. This is why one of the reasons we love WordPress, because you can get plugins. And it's one of the reasons we hate WordPress, because you can get plugins. and they can do this to you from time to time. Anyway, I've overused much of your time. It's now 8 minutes past what we should have done. I really appreciate you making any comments. Thank you. Again, sorry about the gremlins. Sorry about the fact that some of the comments come in and we can show them on the screen, but some of them can't. But I think we managed to put a fair amount of all of that up.
You got
really appreciate it. Thank you to Jen for joining us. Thank you to Dave for joining us. And thank you to Peacher for joining us. You've all been on the show before, so you know it's the slightly humiliating hand wave thing that we've got to do now. Would you all just mind showing me your hand? Yeah, look, Peachy, you're out there. No, in. Yes, very good. Thank you so much. If you are, it's okay, you're done. Yeah. If you are in WordCamp Asia, if you're in Taipei next week, please do come and say hi. The easiest way to reach out to me is probably on Twitter, at WP Builds. That's probably the easiest thing to do. I'd love to meet as many of you as I can. Maybe we'll go and get some hot pot, which apparently is really nice and tasty. But that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back a week after next. So take care, stay safe, and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.